Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we spun the Wheel of Mandy.
It's very funny because the only people that I know who call my partner Amanda Mandy, you two knuckleheads. Yeah. You'd not done it to her face ever, and then you did it the other day. No, you've never done it to her face.
No, I've done it before.
I think I don't think that I did it to her face, but I did it with her like standing there.
Yeah.
But I think I was addressing one of you.
She just cops it, I think, from you.
I've done it before.
Yeah.
I don't think it went that well.
No, I don't think I did either. She doesn't hate it. I just think, I don't know, I'd be worried if I were you. She owns a cursed painting.
She does.
And she has no fear.
No fear.
Yep.
Well, she has a little bit of fear, and that's why this wheel exists.
That's why this wheel exists.
I'll say this to you, Tom.
Yep.
Do it again.
He has to know.
You have to know.
It's like the Candyman thing. You say that name five times and you get killed.
What's great is, just so you know, Sean, there's a mirror on the back of the door near where you were sitting. Just turn and look at it.
Don't worry. I've already looked at it because you bought me this beautiful, nice hat, and I will keep checking it out.
You just keep checking yourself.
The Boston Celtics green's really popping.
It is a fresh green. Yeah. That is like new hat. Smell amazing.
Powerful hat. Best hat in the world. I'll say it.
Tommy, do you want to explain the Wheel of Mandy to your listeners?
Yes, we were catching up just for other reasons and socializing, and because we are friends in real life and not just on this podcast.
Strange but true.
I often tell people Tom's just my colleague, but that's a lie. That's He's actually my dear friend.
It's very funny. If you listened to just the podcast that I'm in with Sean, you would assume that we are colleagues who don't get on well.
You're like two blokes who have been forced to share an office.
Yeah.
But couldn't be more different.
No, correct. But in real life, good friends.
Very
beautiful,
good friends.
Beautiful friendships.
Yes. Yeah.
The three of us, we're beautiful boys and we're beautiful friends. So we were catching up and then we were like, we should watch a horror movie together. Mm. We're coming over to I just moved house. We're coming over to look at my new house.
Look at the crying boy.
Look at the crying boy. See him above the toilet there. And then one of you knuckleheads, and I'm looking at you, Sean, because it was definitely 30 seconds Carney over here.
I feel like if you're going for knucklehead, I'll take the moniker of knucklehead. But I think if you said knucklehead and you said, who do you think I'm talking about? Census says Sean Carney.
Survey says Sean. Was like, we should do a wheel where Amanda picks the wheel.
Yeah.
Yep.
Picks five, six movies that she likes.
I will comfortably say I would never suggest that.
Yeah.
No.
That is disgusting and sickening, and I'm shocked that we did it.
I stand by it. I did it for the show. I did it for the listeners.
This is meant to be your passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Mandy has passions as well.
It is the year of passion. These are the movies that she is passionate about.
There you go.
Her passion scares me.
It does. It includes a bunch of films. All of them have something in them that either scare her or she just really enjoys.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go through what the options were?
I would love for you to do that.
So the first one was Suspiria, which is one of her favorite movies. This is the remake.
I feel like that one's been burning its way up our watch list.
It really has. If I'm honest, that's what I wanted the wheel to stop on.
Yeah, okay.
Autopsy of Jane Doe, which is very funny because it's a movie she recommended to you, but you decided wasn't scary enough and didn't didn't watch it.
Well, that's because I asked her because we needed, this was for eye cramps, which we do as another show. And I needed a fucked sixth option. So I went to her for advice because she loves fucked horror movies.
Yeah.
And she sort of ummed and ahed about it and went, yeah, I'm going to pick maybe that one. But then she herself wasn't sure if it was good enough for a fucked option. So that put me off a bit. I was like,
Eye Cramps on Skeddy Boys Patreon. Sign up. Listen to it. It's amazing.
Backcountry, which is a movie about a bear and people who get lost in the woods and have to fight the bear.
I love it.
Yeah, as soon as she said that, she started to describe it and you said, don't.
Yep.
Don't say anymore. Mm. You've said enough.
You had me a bear.
You had me a bear.
Speaking of bears, Annihilation.
Oh, you lost me at bear.
The worst, most wrongest bear.
That's why it's on this list. That's the scariest monster, I think, or creature she's seen in a movie was the bear.
So I think we've all weirdly seen Annihilation.
Yes.
Yeah. And read it too. And is there a bear in the book? I don't recall.
There are creatures in the book. There's a weird worm thing in the book rather than the bear. And the alligator cries.
Mm.
There's a crocodile that like calls out at night.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the bear in the movie is the like one thing I remember the most about that movie.
Quite upsetting. But I agree. I think the ultimate monster of the piece. Because I think I went into Annihilation expecting definitely some horror, but I think I was thinking more sci-fi, which
absolutely
also has in spades.
Yeah.
But it's so beautifully, carefully, curatedly done that it is upsetting. It's distressing. Yeah.
It's bad. It's bad. Speaking of bad, Gonjiam Haunted Asylum.
It's despicable that's on the list.
It should not be on the list. Like, what are you... Mandy.
This is on the list because it scares her.
Yeah. It scares all of us. I've not even seen it.
It scares her with, like, a thrill. Like, it's scary, but she likes it. Yeah. Because, again...
Pretty angry to see that pop up on the list.
And Eden Lake, which is a Strangers vibe type thing about people camping who can get roughed up by some teens or youth.
I've had that on my radar for a little while.
Strangers was our third episode or something? Yeah,
that's still a bad one.
We went Blair Witch, something not as scary.
The Thing.
Blair Witch, The Thing, The Strangers.
Yeah. And then I'm pretty sure The Beast Must Die. Or, there was one before that.
The Descent. Right?
No, didn't we watch... What's that other one with Kush as like the tarot card reading guy?
Oh, the House of Dr. Horror's House of Terror.
I think Beast Must Die came first.
No, did it? I thought Dr. Terror's House of
Horror. We'll never know.
Hey, there's no way to know.
There's no way to check.
Yeah. There's no record of any of this.
Both five-star movies.
Yeah. So they were the options.
Yeah.
And we spun the wheel.
So we, as Tom said, we had a lovely day, seeing his apartment, chatting with Crying Boy. We also did make our way over to a brewery, have a bevy before we spun the wheel. We needed a bit of liquid courage.
Yeah.
So what we have here is, I took a video of this. I guess I'll post on the socials as well. But in the meantime, here is the audio of us spinning the Wheel of Mandy.
The Wheel of Mandy.
Got sound on?
It does. What?
Oh my God.
And in case it wasn't clear what the result was, because there's a lot of fear, nervous laughter from me mostly, we fucking got Gonjiam.
You're a dog, Tom Reed. I want to double down that I'm angry that Gonjiam's on the wheel.
Yeah.
I think I said in an episode, I don't ever want to watch it again. I can't remember what I said. I said something along the lines of, Damo, I'm playing the friendship card.
Yeah, you blackmailed me.
I'm never going to watch it because if you decide to do it for the show, I have to watch it again and you're putting me
through
the
ringer. And you knew I would never make you do that.
Yeah.
Never in a million years. So, yeah, because I was generally... So, backstory for this one, if anyone doesn't know, if you haven't listened to Eye Cramps, which we do, which you all do show, it's on the Patreon, blah, blah, blah. Basically, for Eye Cramps, we spin a wheel of six movies on a certain topic. And what we started doing was to have five good options and one fucked option that you really don't want to watch.
Yeah.
And so Sean, being far braver than any scaredy boy, cowardly custard should be, put Gonjiam on his wheel.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something about a wheel. It only takes 30 seconds to make one.
And about that to spin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can I ask you, I'm sure I must have asked you this in episode, but like, as it was spinning, did that courage drop through the floor? Like, did you think, holy shit?
Because it's when the wheel starts to slow, you go, oh no.
Yeah, it's getting
close. And there's a chance that maybe it won't, but nah, you know.
Yeah, well, so again, when you guys watch the video, you'll be able to see this like was sitting on Annihilation. I was like, we're doing Annihilation.
Yeah.
Of all the options, one, we'd already seen it, so I knew I would get through it.
It's
not a comfortable rewatch, but, and then literally the last second, Dink. Dink.
As we know, when you spin the wheel, you sort of instantly know in your heart what you do want it to land on.
Yeah. And what you don't want it to land on.
Well, yeah, I'd never want a Gon GM, but I didn't really want Annihilation. Maybe because I've already seen it.
Mm.
I wouldn't hate if it had landed on Suspiria.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I was also very keen on that bear movie.
Yes.
Backcountry.
Yeah. Yeah. I was basically ready for anything except Gon GM.
Yeah.
I thought the wheel's not going to fuck us like that.
That's what I thought back when we die cramps.
Yeah.
I thought 1 in 6. I trust the wheel.
What are the chances?
What are the odds of 1 in 6?
As in percentage wise?
Yeah.
15.6 recurring, something like that.
Look at that.
There you go.
Look at that.
I think in episode that time, Dusha kept saying that it was a 20% chance.
That's 1 in 5.
That's 1 in 5.
Yeah, he was wrong. Right.
Maybe 16.6 recurring, I think, because 33.3 recurring is 1 in 3. Anyway,
okay.
Don't worry about it.
Look at the math boy over here.
Why he's a scientist.
Yes, it is. I can see that lab coat. Yes, we got Gon GM Haunted Asylum.
We got Gon GM'd right up the arsehole. I can't believe the fucking Wheel of Mandy gave us this movie.
I can. I am also, before we dive into the movie, can I just do something very quickly?
Yeah.
Just a round of applause for 3 brave boys.
I'll take it. I'll have it.
And I hope listeners, if you're listening, I hope you're clapping too. If you're driving, I hope you let go of that steering wheel and you give us a thunderous round of applause as you cannon into a tree. It is only right. It's the respect we deserve.
If Mandy's listening, she's just going, got him.
Just chuckling away to herself.
I'm really proud of us.
I really thought we were never going to watch this movie because, there's actually a big, long, boring backstory. But like when you first watched this, Tom, because Amanda chose it for you guys to watch.
Yep.
You said to us, boys, I've just watched this movie. I will never make you watch this movie.
Yep.
And then when Sean watched it, I said, well, now I have to watch it.
But I said, no, you don't.
He said, no.
I refuse to let you watch it.
And you came up with emotional, tie me in a knot. I thought, great, okay, we're not doing it. You're not going to do it to me. I'm not going to do it to you.
And then the wheel said, hey,
Mandy fucking kicked the door down and said, here's a wheel. Let's spin it. And fuck. So well, after we spun at the brewery, like literally we all kind of dropped a bit.
Yeah.
the vibe was like, well, and there was a brief period where I couldn't get the subtitles to work.
Yes.
And my laptop was playing up and I couldn't get the HDMI to work and then the sound was a bit shit. And there was a brief moment where we nearly abandoned it and spun the wheel again.
We always did.
But we are good, brave boys and we didn't
back
down.
Can I tell you that when I had to watch it for iCrabs, I had the exact same situation.
Interesting.
Even the fact where you had to keep getting up at various times and like changing the
speed of the subtitles.
The speed, so things lined up. I had to do that a few times as well.
Because it's haunted. Because the movie is literally
just a haunted copy that
chock full of ghosts.
Really hard to find as well.
Yeah.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah, I wonder if how many of these listeners will actually manage to get
their hands
on it. Easy
to find in the US. You can buy it in the US.
This is one of those pure Scaredy Boys examples of we watch the scary movies so you don't have.
Correct. Yeah. If you're a cowardly custard who listens to this to hear about us being cowardly custards, you don't have to watch Gon GM. No. I'm just going to say that straight up the top.
No.
You don't have to watch it. We watched it. We'll tell you about it. You never have to go through that haunted asylum.
Yeah.
If you are a brave babe and you, like our good friend Cass, are chasing a bit of fear, if you are like Amanda and you get a thrill from being terrified, you should watch Gon GM.
Year of Passion? This will tick your passion box.
Oh, Jesus. This will do the fucking trick.
Yeah.
I can't believe I've watched it twice. I can't believe you've watched it twice.
Makes me sick to my stomach.
It's fucked. Did you think at any point in your life you'd have watched this movie twice?
I suspected, well, like Damo, when two of us had seen it, I suspected at some point it would come up. But I thought it would be like Hereditary. I thought it would be something that would be pushed far to the back of this show's catalogue.
Literally, I thought it won't be this year because we're sort of titled this year the Year of Passion. We're going to be chasing our passion at the end of last year, Sean. You sort of said that's what you're interested in this year. We're all on board for that. So I thought if we do, we'd have to do like a Year of Fear to the return or whatever, maybe it'll jump in at that point as the last episode of the year.
Yep.
And then I was really not ready to be watching this movie anytime soon.
I stand by the Wheel of Mandy.
Well,
I think it's good to have a little jolt every now and then. And I'd do it again.
Okay.
Not this film.
We don't need to do this film because we've already done it.
You know what? Now I feel very confident in saying I will never watch this again.
Yeah.
I just won't.
I can't imagine the circumstance.
Yeah.
Do you know what's awful?
Oh, no.
We've got to quit iCrabs.
Yeah.
Do you know what's awful? Is I know that at some point in my life, I'll probably watch this again.
You don't have to, though, Tom. That's the thing.
No, I know, but
it's like that time you came home and she was watching Martyrs and you were like, fuck, rewind to the start.
I'm locked in now.
You can go anywhere in your house nice, mate. You don't have to be there.
True. But the thing about the difference between Gone Jam and Martyrs is a shit film that I hate. Whereas Gone Jam, it's a good film.
Yeah, I'll pay that.
It's really well made. It's really interesting. It's really engaging. It takes a premise that I think we have seen before, literally in Grave Encounters, which is earlier this year.
Like almost identical premise in a sense.
And even in other like found footage horror films with that kind of like you meet these characters and, you know, they're looking for something scary.
Yeah.
And we've seen it done 100 times. There is something so endearing about these characters. You actually care about them. Then it adds like this layer of authenticity to what they're doing, which is really interesting. And some of the camera work is really, really clever. And then it gives you some of the biggest, most fucked scares you've ever copped.
I've just realized I haven't done the synopsis. So for our listeners that we've told, don't watch this thing, let me at least tell you what it is. So Gone Jam Haunted Asylum is a 2018 South Korean found footage supernatural horror film directed by Jung Bum-sik, based on a real-life psychiatric hospital of the same name. It follows the crew of a horror web series who travel to an abandoned asylum for a live broadcast. They soon encounter much more than they expected as they move deeper inside this nightmarish old building.
Fun fact about the old building in the asylum. Mm-hmm. So because it's a real place.
I feel like this is not going to be a fun
fact. No. This is a fun fact.
Okay.
So the owners of the asylum were trying to sell it.
Right.
In whatever year. As this film was being advertised as coming out. And they sued the filmmakers to stop the movie being released because they were worried it would hurt the sale value of the movie.
It would increase it, if anything.
Well, but they were worried that people won't buy this building.
Because they'll think it's haunted.
Yeah, they lost the court case.
Mm-hmm.
And so, bad luck, the movie got made.
Oh, that rule. So the judge is like, no, movies are awesome. Fuck you.
Movies are awesome. But the downside of that is apparently then they couldn't get permission. The owners were like, fuck off, you're not filming anywhere near this place. So it's filmed in an abandoned school. But they then tried to recreate. They then recreated using like sets and lighting and other stuff, the layout as it is in.
Oh, good
in
the on hospital. Them. Oh, okay.
Sorry. So they didn't film there.
No, they weren't allowed to.
It was based on that. That was the idea and the setting. And then they recreated it.
They recreated it somewhere else.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. So they basically built off floor plans
the
asylum, which I think adds that layer of authenticity. Because if you Google Gone Jam Asylum, it's a real place. It is on CNN's seven, whatever they call it, the freakiest sites in the world.
And seven freakiest sites.
That American girl, Charlotte Moon.
Charlotte Moon, yeah, well done.
Has been to four of them.
Yeah. So I read that the idea for this movie came from that list.
That's so
funny. So basically the filmmaker's obviously South Korean and they're like, oh, there's one in our fucking backyard.
Is there any in Australia?
Oh, of the seven freakiest?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the list. That's a good question.
I reckon there's a highway.
What are you thinking over there?
Oh, like in our minds, Pilliger would be, but I just don't think it will be on the... Right. This is seven in the world, right?
Yeah, in the world.
There won't be an Australian.
Yeah. They're freaky places. There's an island of...
If there is, we probably have to go to it.
I don't think we do.
Oh, I thought I was going to get him immediately. damn.
Gag up on me.
All right, still cowards then. That was a coward check.
Yeah, good. Yep. Good. Okay.
The show is
get to wear our cowardly custard badge bravely.
It is still called Scaredy Boys.
Okay. Yes.
We're not brave. For some reason, I enunciated boys as opposed to scaredy, but that's fine.
I also read. I didn't read that. That's awesome. But it's been knocked down. 2018, it got
they must
demolished.
Have sold it and demolished it.
Yeah. Which I wanted to ask you, boys, is that like
that feels worse?
Is that good or is that bad?
Like, that feels worse.
Just kind of depends what you think happens when the building goes down,
right? Well, what do you think happens? Because this kind of will tie into what would we do? Like, is there any sort of out for if you destroy a building, but is the land still cursed or is it the walls?
Is the land cursed? Is whatever is cursed and roaming that building?
Yeah.
Are they suddenly free? Do they cease to exist? What's the deal?
I think the land's cursed based on what we learned.
This
in the
one,
film.
Yeah, I reckon for this one, no question. It's got it extends outside the walls of that building.
As we see,
in this film. All right, we're a bit of a derail. So yeah, basically the premise is like something we've seen before, but like you were saying, Tom, it's actually quite masterfully done. Like it's really. I'm trying to even think like it's shot really clearly where it doesn't sort of lean into you can't fucking see anything ever.
Yeah.
Which I get why filmmakers do that, especially if they're on a budget because it like increases the fear. But it actually just, from my experience, it actually just increases the frustration. And this one, it only increased the fear by having things I could see. All the things I need
to
see.
They have night vision cameras. They've got like the state-of-the-art GoPros. They've got that camera that does that amazing like bubble shot that happens repeatedly.
But even the off-screen film lighting, traditional film lighting, is actually utilized, whereas sometimes it's not in this type of film.
Yes. Yeah. And then also just to jump on what you were saying, Tom, the characters did that really beautiful thing. Like it, and it didn't do it in a way that was like, I don't know, it just gave us these characters and showed us sort of the road trip of these six sort of strangers. But
were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I was surprised.
We'd seen it before, and I remember when I first watched it.
Yeah,
I kind of was all, maybe we've changed a bit in our horror viewing, but we always kind of expected scares from the outset,
right?
Whereas this is probably, is it like the first nearly half an hour where they're like truly getting the band together. Yeah. Having some drinks, having some fun, bonding, and then finally they make their trek into the place.
Yeah, no, because even we had, it's got that opening scene where there's the two other, like, fucking TikTokers or whatever they are, who basically are sort of joking around and there, and that sort of kicks off this guy wanting to make his web series there or streaming there. And then we go to, like, this very well-lit cafe or whatever in South Korea. It looks lovely. We're starting to meet people, get an idea for their personalities. And like you said, they're all quite, like, bubbly.
Yep. Yeah.
And, like, again, to think of something like Grave Encounters where they're, like, grunge, hardcore, all that sort of wank where you're like, okay, well, I'm not connecting with these people at all then because they're such posers. Where for this crew, they're just, like, no, they're generally, like, enthusiastic.
Yep.
And they're mostly getting along. There's one dipshit who keeps trying to kick the other girl who's just sweet as pie. It's so funny.
He's like, no, she shouldn't be here. Yeah. And she's braver than him.
By a long way.
So many opportunities. Yeah. It's such a funny.
And she's so sweet to him.
Yeah. Such a weird dynamic that I kind of, I love just the weirdness of it.
I think it works. Even though he's been a dick, there's like this, I think it's him shielding a bit of like affection for her or whatever.
Right.
Even when he arrives,
they're kind of like, there's just that fun sort of vibe nearly where like he's a bit lost out on the street and they're like, there he is, and they're all giggling and then he comes in. And,
he's already sort of the bottom guy on the totem pole sort of thing.
And even like they pull over on their car on their road trip and do the water
amazing
the thing they're doing, the jump thing that they're doing and just the strapped on camera angles and all that. Like it was not what I expected. I was
And that's the thing, like you, and again, more movies should do this where you just go, let's just show them having fun filming this thing.
Yep.
So yeah, they're gonna have a bad time filming this thing later, but to actually show the experience of doing this as a little crew, making movies is fun, putting stuff out there is fun.
Still only 95 minutes.
Yeah, like, still a tight little runtime. Because
they don't fuck around. They give you
fuck for that.
They give you fun and joy, and then they build and build and build, and then they give you the nice little reveal of that it's fake, or they've ratcheted up for views. And then things go pear-shaped. And then they go pear-shaped so fast and for so, like, basically the last 20 minutes of the film are just being hit in the nuts over and over again. I felt like Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, boy. Can we just keep talking about the first act?
Yeah, we can.
No, I just want to talk about that for the whole episode.
The other issue, too, with that first act, because it's so effective and you get this camaraderie, is you immediately, and I felt this the first time watching it, I'd be curious how you felt the first time watching it, Damo, is you sit there and you're like, I like these people.
I care for this team. I didn't expect it because both of you obviously talked about your experiences watching this thing and how truly horrific it was. And so I didn't expect it. And then once we did have it, it kind of lulled me into this because, again, it's bright. It's well lit. We're seeing them have fun. And then they're kind of like, oh, yeah, we're going to like trek through the woods. We're not allowed to come in the front door. So you're like, great, I've still got a bit of a buffer here. And then they get there and they're setting up. And then like almost straight away, they're like, all right, well, we're going to go over and do reconnaissance. And you're like, no, a bit more, no, let's hold off a little bit longer,
Cook the noodles some more. I liked cooking noodles.
I enjoyed that part. And so, literally, I kind of got to the point where I had settled into it enough that as soon as they're like, okay, great. And because they're still happy, they're still joyous and naive and bubbly and very cute. They're like a very cute crew.
Yep.
And so, like, my feeling has changed, but theirs hasn't. And so it's that shift that makes that, like, brings in that early discomfort and go, oh, no.
I enjoyed the introduction to the character stuff heaps better on the rewatch.
Yeah, okay.
So when I watched this last year,
too sick.
Because I'd picked it as my fucked option on the wheel and I wanted to honor that, and I watched it. I could have watched it during the day, but I watched it at night. I sat in a dark room. I put noise-canceling headphones on.
It's the worst way to watch that movie.
No, but I wanted to respect cinema. I really went for it. I didn't want to repeat the sins of when I watched Wreck and I just tried to experience it.
Which you could have done this time around as well, but you didn't again.
Yes, I am a hero. Thank you, Tom.
Another round of applause for Sean.
Yes, he's a hero.
Thank
you. So watching it that way, I didn't trust the light, fluffy beginning because I was constantly just like, had memories of what Tom had said about the film. So I was like, I just didn't trust it. I'm like, at any second, there's just going to be fuck jump scares or it's going to jump forward in time and suddenly be scary.
Where I felt,
it wasn't really that scary to its reputation for quite a long time into it.
And weirdly, normally for us, That doesn't work.
Definitely for me, that does not work. You're both more forgiving than I am in that department.
They sprinkle enough like early little scares, but there's still not a lot. Like nothing really happens until it happens. And then it's just, you're in. You're so deep in.
I think they do it pretty well. Well, should we jump?
Let's talk.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Scares. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So where are we scared?
Yeah, okay.
I'm thinking this is the scariest movie I've ever fucking seen in my life.
I think it's scary from the moment they start to trek in.
Yes.
That's really fucking scary, that whole bit. Yeah. And they start off giggling and it's exciting, but then they're quite scared as well.
Yeah.
Before they even reach the front door.
Because you're not sure what to expect. You don't know when because you've already had the guys go in and set up the CCTV, and you've heard the director, producer guy talk about how there's motion capture and there's this thing and there's this and we're going to get it live. Then I'm going to play replays and we've got a plan. And they give you all the clues as to how the tech works so you know how it will be exploited to terrify you later.
Yeah. Right.
But I find the forest stuff really scary. There's something about just the heavy breathing, but it is also the shift. It's the shift from the giddiness, the excitement of it to the kind of like, okay, this is a little bit serious. Yeah. And then it's just the torchlight in the trees and moving around. And it's just, you don't feel safe. And ultimately, we got through that scene and nothing bad happened.
No.
I don't think there were jump scares or
they
anything.
Found some underwear. That was about it.
Nothing truly scary happens.
But it's like sustained stress.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And which again, I think that's like, it's funny. I think it's so interesting that for our scariest wheel, we got Grave Encounters, and for our Mandy wheel, we got this one. Because the parallels between them are so interesting, because Grave Encounters didn't really get us there.
No.
And they are very similar in a lot of ways, but like definitely on the fear factor, this got me far worse because of the back end. But even that front end that you're talking about, that sort of discomfort and that fear of just entering this building, and like they're not afraid enough yet, but we are, and nothing's really happening yet. There's like a few little things setting up for later on that are like, oh, that's creepy, but we're okay still.
Yeah.
But agreed, like in that period, I was much more on edge, even though I've kind of since learned the lesson that we've talked about before, where I kind of know at the start I'm going to be mostly okay.
Yeah, that's kind of the safety zone.
That's our safety zone. At worst, we're going to get a jump scare, but you kind of know it's later on that I really need to be stressed.
Yeah, as it starts to descend, so does the fear. The fear goes up as they get deeper into the film.
But I was like more on edge than I was expecting for that.
Yes. The Grave Encounters thing is so interesting because sometimes we'll watch a movie here and it has all the ingredients that it should have terrified me, and yet something about it just feels a bit off. And that's Grave Encounters. It didn't commit all the way to investing in character at the start or creating a stressful environment. It had scary moments in it, but it didn't do it as effectively, and kind of like in some cases, beat for beat, it's the same as Gone Jam.
It's
and yet one
similar.
Of them is like incredibly effective and the other one's, in my mind, slightly amateurish.
Yes.
I think this is better made. Like the quality of filmmaking here is probably the part that, like even just the script, like it's such a thing where you watch like a found footage film where it's like a camera crew or something, and there's always a way to like, you know, how do they do this thing? And having it be like a YouTube stream where they're going to get a million views and make $2 million or whatever they're trying to do. The idea of that is like, that's great, but there's always like a little bit lacking in the naturalism of it. The script in this and the acting and the performance is this. I believe every single, like if you hadn't told me that this was not fictional.
Yeah.
And you gave me a couple of Google articles about Gone Jam Asylum and the Seven Freakers and all these things. And then you gave me this movie, there'd be just a tiny part of me. Like if I saw this at like 15, 14 before I distrusted the world.
Yeah.
When I was naive and beautiful and dumb. The part of me would have been like, is that fucking real?
Yeah.
I think you have to be really, really good at what you do to make something look this cheap and this sort of no budget.
Right.
When really, like, a lot has gone into this.
Yeah, I agree.
And we've, like, seen versions where it's also cheap and no budget, but the same craft is not on show.
Yes, yeah. And again, this is what it always comes down to. It comes down to story and craft. Mm. And this, like, man, story is, like, I could talk about this for a whole podcast, but, like, story is the most powerful tool out there. And it doesn't really, if you get the story right, it almost doesn't matter what your budget is. Mm. Like, people will forgive it because your story is so gripping and, like, enticing. And this is a great example. Like, definitely this is filmed actually quite beautifully. Like, they do have their craft down as well, I think. But again, this is the same story, right, as the other one. But it's told differently, and it's those differences that elevates this so much higher than Grave Encounters.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they also, like, while there's, like, a couple of them who are, like, the three guys who are in on it and are trying to manufacture spooks, it feels like the rest of them who are part of the ghost hunting crew, and I think that's the difference between when you watch, like, I don't know, maybe an American kind of the Grave Encounter style. These guys don't feel like they're disrespectful. Like, they don't feel don't touch the doll, don't do this, don't do that. We're going to go in, we're going to learn about it, and we're going to leave again. They don't know that three of them are creating pranks and are causing havoc. They also don't know that by just going there, they're fucked.
They're well fucked.
Yes. Which, yeah, brings me back to those scares. The back half of those scares, there are two in particular, but one of them in particular, there's one whole sequence that is maybe the scariest thing I've ever seen in a movie.
Disgusting.
And it's the Ji-Yun, I think, getting possessed with Charlotte outside.
Yeah.
And then you realize they're not outside at all. They're never outside.
And it's such a great lead into that, because they're like, they have the, something genuinely fucked happen. I don't think it was the prank yet.
No, because he's done the prank of saying, oh, something grabbed me. And then she does it.
Right.
And then something grabs her.
And she's got these scratches on her
arms.
And
we know that she doesn't know it's fake.
Yes.
So it's...
But also that her getting grabbed isn't fake.
No, correct. And so we know that as an audience. She doesn't know that he didn't get grabbed. It's really interesting. So for ages, they don't really even reveal that they've been playing pranks until, like, way, 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 way later.
Yeah.
It's too late by
that
point.
It's too late by that point.
Too late, yeah.
It's when the three of them are in the room 408 or 40 whatever it is. 406? 40 whatever.
40 something.
The spooky room.
I've kicked that out of my brain. I don't need to know. 402.
402. The scary room. Is 408 the room from The Shining?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That's 2 something, isn't it?
I don't know.
216, I want to say, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever, man. All I'll say about The Shining is it's different in the movie and in the book.
237.
237, okay. It's 237 in either the movie or the book, but not in both.
So 217 or 237.
There you go. Don't know why.
So Kubrick used 237.
Kubrick just said, hey, King, go fuck yourself.
Yes. Hey, I like the number 3, not the number 1. Also, you don't have to call me again.
That's right. I remember.
Do some more lines.
Kubrick, was it Kubrick that called Kingy in the middle of the night and just said, do you believe in God?
Psychotic.
I love it. That's a great story.
Yeah, it's fucked.
That man, both of those men must have done so much coke.
Yeah. But what was funny watching this movie, Damo, you at one point were like, oh my God, this is so fucked. And we haven't even gotten in the room yet without realizing we're already in the room.
Yeah. And that's like that for this scare that you're talking about, Tom. The lead into it was fucking masterfully done.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, our characters are doing the right thing. They're getting the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And so great, they do. But then they keep walking around because they'd set up that, they'd tied up the underwear that they found at the start. They kept coming back to it. And that's when they realize. And it's right when she says, fuck, we're going in circles. There's the underwear again. And she turns to her friend.
And her friend, Ji-Yun, is just, Charlotte turns around. Ji-Yun's just staring into the corner. And you're like, what's wrong with her? And what they do amazingly is they've set up earlier. They're all wearing GoPros to show what they're looking at and their reactions, obviously, because that was great television.
Yes.
And it cuts back to her face and it's just not, it's like her eyes are closed and she's not looking at anything. And it cuts back to Charlotte. She's like, what's going on? What's going on? And it cuts back to her face and it's fine. And we know that in horror movies, there's a rule of threes.
Yeah.
And then doesn't actually go back for the third one. It just lingers on her longer for the second one. And then her eyes pop open and she makes the worst sound of all time.
It's so way worse than I was about. Like,
it's horrific. She's been possessed. Her pupils are, but it's like, it's not even like the same lame possession. It's this weird speaking in tongues.
Just for all the people who aren't going to watch the movie, Tom, what does it sound like? In my head, it's like, but it's not, is it?
No, it's basically she's speaking fast.
It's sort of somewhere between the two. I don't even know how she's exactly doing it. And it's so great because it's
that,
like,
that's
pretty close. Yeah. And it's, she's just got the pure black eyes. It's definitely the camera angle as well because it is that close-up GoPro sort of look where she's slightly distorted anyway.
Yeah. It stays on her face for a long time.
And then, she's doing
time.
This fucking horrific thing. And it's like, again, this is why I love a low-budget movie that just nails what they're doing because she's just doing that. That's just the actress doing that.
Yep.
And it is like, crippling to watch. It is so awful. And then they just stay on it for so long. And you just know this is so bad. This is just so bad. And I'm experiencing it so close. And then you're like waiting for it to cut away. And then it keeps...
It keeps cutting back.
And it's always that close-up shot. Yep. It's always that just like, fuck, it's in your face again. You're like,
The minute you see the close-up GoPros, you're like, well, that's going to be bad.
Yeah. So
that close-up shot at some point is going to ruin my day.
Yeah.
And it does. And that is not even the scariest part of that section.
No, oh my God, that whole sequence. Fuck
it. Again, it is like just being punched in the dick. Were you guys just watching me at that point? No, I was watching the movie.
Yeah, I think I was watching the movie too.
There was a point I looked at, it's hard to not get drawn. Like, I often find with some movies I can not body it, but you can kind of prepare yourself. Whereas this movie, you just get sucked into it. The rhythm of it must just be nice to your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
I did look over at you at one point.
I got up just before the shit really hits the fan. Because I wanted to go lock eyes with the crime boy and piss. And when I came back, I didn't want to like jump in front of the TV because stuff was happening.
Yes,
so I kind of just stood at the back of the couch and just watched what was happening. And Tom was angry because I was standing behind him.
It was very funny. When you walked back in, it was just as they were coming up to revealing that the underwear, like they've been passed a second time.
Yeah.
And you came back out and you and I locked eyes and we both knew we're in for it. This is the end game now.
Yeah.
And then you get the fucking awful bit of them being, she never left the room. Yeah. She's back in this.
She's somehow in the room.
Yeah.
The room that we can't, that is impossible to open.
With the water, her friend standing in the corner, Blair Witch style.
Ugh.
And there's someone else in the room.
Man, just,
that slow pan of her, like she looks away and then she looks back. And at that point in a lesser film, that's where you get the jump scare. But instead, it just comes from, like you get a little bit of it from behind the pillar. She looks away again and it moves a little bit. And you never, I thought they were going to do a thing where every time she looked away, it would be closer.
Yes. Yeah.
But no, she looks back, it hasn't moved. And then it starts
to move.
They
show you the movement. Yeah. I think it's way more effective.
It's very effective.
And then it does exactly what we're expecting, which is it rushes the camera
horrifically.
But the build up, the slow build up to it makes it so much scarier.
It goes longer than you're expecting too, again.
Yep. And like the whole sequence from the moment they're out in the thing, they realize like someone should like break that down beat for beat to figure out the pacing.
It won't be us because we'd have to watch it again.
God, no. No, never in my life. But someone who is
a brave babe.
Because truly, I think you're like, if you can actually nail down what they've done there and recreate it in your own movie, the pacing of that was so perfect. It was so tough to watch.
Yeah.
So very, like you really want to look away and they just kept, when they should have hung on, they hung on to make it as scary as to just eke every bit of fear out of it. The setup's scary enough already, but I really think the pacing of that elevates it to this truly awful experience.
I don't know if this is the, I still think, what's the fucking movie I'm blanking on? It's the scariest one.
Incantation.
Yeah. I think Incantation's probably still the scariest thing we've had to watch.
I would agree.
This sequence, though, is the worst.
I will also say my experience, this sequence pretty much tops just about anything we've done.
I would dare something to be scarier at this point.
We'll never watch it. We wouldn't know.
I will say my experience of watching this, obviously, I watched Incantation by myself where you boys were having a lovely time upstairs.
Yes.
This one was way... I feel bad
for you. Did you say you watched Incantation?
Yeah, I did.
No, I watched 95% of it.
Oh, you're taking off 5%?
Yeah, it's a big chunk. I should take off more.
I'll give you that. It's fair enough. But watching this one, having you guys there, the three of you...
It helped you tremendously.
It really did help. Like,
I'm very aware.
Yeah.
I think I said that to Amanda. I was like, my experience was worse because I was...
Alone.
Choice noise cancelling headphones
the,
alone.
The noise cancelling headphones is the thing that does it for me. I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, that's bonkers. Yeah. You would, that noise of her would be so, the noise of the door slamming, the people crying out and moaning, and the sequence where
I know it ruined my life.
Yeah, the sequence where the light is flashing on the corridor, or is it something running towards them? Like, bad, man.
Yeah.
All of it's bad. The hands. The hands over the eyes.
I can't believe how effective that was. Like, again, that feels like it should be a cheapy little trick. But again, I think it's the pacing. It's so quick. It's so quick and you're not ready for it. And so all of a sudden you've got these, for the you who haven't watched it, basically they're in this horrible room and just this set of hands come from behind their head, meet in the middle over their eyes, and then quickly swipe away. And it is like seconds. Mm. And
they don't even quite go all the way around because the people it's happening to don't realize it's happening.
Don't seem to realize it's happening. Yeah. But the people watching them and us definitely know what's happening. And truly, like, again, I can't even say why it's so scary, but it is very, very scary.
Yeah, I think that taps into the idea of that, like, they don't even know.
It's the silence of the lambs.
They don't even know how fucked it is.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, because at that point, they can't see, can they?
No, they're in the dark completely. Yeah.
So it's just this feeling that you would have, this primal feeling of there is something there, but you can't see. It's even scarier. And,
but he's seeing it through his camera.
His monitors or whatever, yeah.
And then, no, well, he can see it, I think, through the camera that he's holding up. I'm not entirely, I can't really remember. I've deleted it. But then when it finally happens one last time, the hands come across and the hands pull back. Their eyes are black. They start doing the creepy chanting, which comes back again. You see she's in the room. Oh, they're in the room they were in before.
Yeah.
This is only going to end badly. And then he gets got by a terrifying woman.
Yeah.
And then that's not even... Then again, and there's still one to go. Done. There's still one guy left.
And then one other bit, just before we jump off the scares, because we could talk... That could be a whole hour, but like...
The answer is just yes.
Yes. But there was a bit earlier on that like kind of came out of nowhere because it had really kind of like Lake Mungo type stuff where it's we had watched a scene where they were doing their pranky thing of having the bells and all the rest of it. And we've watched it. We watched the whole scene. We learn it's a prank, blah, blah, blah. And then we cut back to a man in the tent and he's watching it and he's like counting the people in the shot. It's like, who filmed this?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you're just like, oh, this goes way deeper than any, like...
That moment when I watched it the first time and when I watched it this time, the minute that moment happened again, you basically get this feeling that starts at the top of your head, like someone's cracked an egg. Your egg is cracked open.
Yeah.
And it just, the feeling runs down the side of your head all the way down to your ankles. Just this feeling of like, oh no.
There's a yolk coming out of your ears.
Yeah. Yes. But just, it's such an effective bit where he's like, hang on a minute. And you see it.
Yep.
If they're all in shot, who filmed that bit?
And like, we don't even really linger on it because we don't really have the time.
But you ever get that bit that the guy who is, and I can't remember his name, but the guy who is a bit of a coward, he looks at, like, he's confused for a second and looks back and you're like, yeah. Yeah, because he's noticed something's wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
a good movie. It's a good movie. And you realize just how out of their depth they are. Because like we said, the front half, there's actually not, there's like all these little setups, but nothing actually that bad. And then the main scary thing turns out to not actually be scary. It's just the prank, the setup. And then that moment happens and you're like, here we go. Okay.
Yeah. Even the use of the drone stuff when he's,
It's fucked. It's good. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
They're dumb to go there.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're dumb to fake it for the clicks.
Yep.
Yes.
But I think the problem is going there is the mistake. But I think once they're there, outside of the people pranking, most of the people seem to be behaving pretty reasonably.
Yeah.
The decision that Charlotte and Gion are like, we're leaving. This is fucking too scary. Yeah.
Proud of them for that.
They make a great decision. The problem is it doesn't matter at that point.
Nah.
It
doesn't matter from any point.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where, and it seems to be this specific genre where it's just like, it doesn't matter. As soon as the doors closed and you went in, that's the end of the line.
Yeah, well, it's even before that, there's that bit as they're walking up to the hospital where the camera glitches out.
Yes, yes.
And you hear the audio, the camera goes off and then it comes back on.
And we'll literally be like, oh, fuck. First, the subtitles are bad and now this?
What's going on with this movie? Oh, it's cursed. My laptop's cursed. The HDMI cable's busted. I was convinced the HDMI cable was fucked for so long.
Yeah. It only added to the fear of this part whole of the experience. Movie. Yeah. So, like, I think the main fool has to be the main guy leading
producer,
who is such an interesting character because everyone seems so friendly and lovely other than the guy who's, like, a bit rude to that girl. But there's that moment where he turns and you see what a kind of a cunt
big turn
he is. Yeah, big old turn.
Harjun, I think is his name. Yeah, this guy. Handsome boy.
Handsome.
He's a heartthrob.
Oh, yes. And he's using that. Deserves he's weaponizing he that handsomeness because he's getting everyone to do what he wants.
Absolutely.
So I think to me, he's the ultimate fool. Like, he's so hungry for that.
Was it million views?
Yeah, million views.
Million views will translate to X amount of money.
Somehow. Don't ask me how that works.
Yeah, don't know how that works. Sure. I really don't.
No.
Okay.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah. He's in Squid Game.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, was he the handsome guy who first bashed him the first time on the train?
He's the guy who tricks him into doing. We'll do a bet.
Yeah.
He's the guy who tricks people into going to the Squid Game. Which makes sense.
Yes.
Because he's tricking people into going to the asylum, too.
He's using that handsomeness as a weapon, and I don't respect it.
You piece of shit. I respect it a little bit.
Okay, I don't like that from you. As the handsomest member of our group, I don't like hearing that.
Boys, I've heard an asylum and also a $1 million challenge.
Oh, he's wicked. He's wicked like crazy. He's an idiot, as far as I'm concerned. He's a bully. He's an idiot. He got everyone in this situation, and rather than help his crew as the captain of this ship, he only murdered them further into
the
mess.
He's a piece of shit.
I love they also call him captain, though.
Yes, that is very lovely and cute.
I did like that.
Yeah.
Because he's the captain of the crew, because they're a ghost hunting crew.
I'd like to be called captain.
All right, captain.
Not in this setting, though.
Captain hat?
Yeah, like a sea captain.
Yeah. Yeah, not I like guess. A big pirate hat, like the little, you know.
Yeah, little one, yeah.
The thing I've always loved about the nautical look is just the big knit sweaters.
Oh, yeah.
They always look fucking amazing. Like literally
sweater
like,
and a hat and a pipe.
Yeah, my whole life has been trying to find that sweater. I've never been able to do it.
Big cable knit sweater. Yeah. And a little beanie.
Oh, like, oh no, I was thinking Life Aquatic. That's not a little beanie, though.
No, it's a bit more of a puffy like the, beanie. It's more like the beanie. No, that little fisherman's beanie. That's sort of, it's like a
it's
little
got a
bowl.
Fold in it, though.
Yeah. It's a bit like the beanie that the, it's basically the outfit you want, Damo, is the outfit that the narrator wears in Moonrise Kingdom.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
The other sweater that I've seen where I'm like, that's the sweater I want, is in Secret Life of Walter Mitty. When he gets pulled out up out of the water, when he's, you know, and he's on the ship.
Yep.
And they give him a sweater.
They give him a sweater.
And it's a gorgeous sweater. It's like, that's the one. I don't know what it is.
A gorgeous movie, too.
Yeah, and a gorgeous movie.
Yeah, yes. I got to rewatch
that. It's a shame it's warm at the moment in this part of the world. I'd love to be in sweater weather.
Bring me that sweater weather. Oh, dip my toes into that. Yes,
I look
please.
Good in a sweater. You got to make a sweater. If you can't find it, you got to make it.
Fuck.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What? Have you ever knitted anything in your entire life?
Done a small bit of knitting.
I had a little dabble during lockdown. It did not go well.
Look, Tom, it's a skill.
But yes.
If you want that thing hard enough, you'll fucking do it.
Yes.
Well, I say 10,000 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's to master it.
Yeah.
I don't need to master it.
He can make
one thing.
He can make a shitty looking sweater that falls off him. Just make a poncho. It's easier.
Okay, let's go to the poncho. Let's go.
A blanket with a hole in it. That's what you make.
You know what? You just need to get yourself a poncho. Tom and I've got one.
I know.
You got to find it.
I've been trying to find it. My journey to the poncho. I will get there one day.
I love your poncho journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do feel like I want it to be on the island.
I love a clothing journey.
Yeah.
I've got to say.
When you pick an item,
a hat journey,
like,
I love a hat journey.
Like, can I manifest this? Can I bring this into my world somehow?
Yeah. And you could find that poncho somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's got to be the right circumstance.
It does. I'm
not going
to
jump online and do it the easy way.
No. It needs to be an authentic, organic experience.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, it's going
to
be a great day.
I look forward to that day.
Yes.
It's one of the best days of my life buying that poncho.
That's such a huge call.
I didn't say the best. I said one of.
One of. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I could have 100 best days.
This is true.
Fair play. Good on you. Have all the best days, mate. Talk about not best days. Boys, how would we do in this situation?
I'd have the worst day of my life and die.
Yeah.
Can we cop out? Can we say we did the big balloon in the water thing and never left? We just turn around and go, you know what? That was so much fun.
I have a vision, like in Final Destination, of us going. The whole movie plays out in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I let us die jumping into the water so we die happy.
I would love for one of us to be like, you know what? I don't need those views. All I need is this right here. Three friends having a lovely time.
I decide to do it nude so we get more views that way.
Okay.
I'm so bouncing off it.
We've already got our meal before we even get
that's
there.
What we need. We need something like something big to happen.
Yeah.
At the water thing.
Right.
And then we don't even need to
go. We just change the game.
Yeah. It's all about a million views because a million views somehow equals advertising.
Equals all that you'd never have to work a day.
South Korea, it equals advertising.
Yeah.
After you've done the stream.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I will say this, if we go to the asylum, we're done. There's no, like, we don't need to discuss that.
Yeah.
We're fucked.
Yeah. I think, yeah, if we're kicking stones,
yeah,
which is going to the asylum.
We would never do that.
We die.
Tom's been to one, but not in a mean-spirited way of like, I'm going to exploit this place.
Yes.
Right. And not like sneaking in the back door.
He did it for love. He got dragged along.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Whose idea was it?
Whose idea was it?
I do wonder because sometimes you're a psycho.
It wasn't my idea.
Okay.
I had to confirm.
Man, I did. Yeah, there was a Woolies nearby. I had to go and look at some snacks just so I could get myself ready.
Settle yourself.
Before going to this island.
Yeah.
Did you take any in there with you?
Nah. You're not allowed to take anything.
That would be rude.
What do you mean?
Like.
Can't take anything in.
They're like, don't take any food or drink.
Ghosts can't eat, so they get angry when they
But I think they also don't want people. It's a heritage site.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fair enough, I suppose. I'm just thinking about you getting lost in there.
Yeah.
They didn't think that through, did they?
No, they did not. We did a whole episode of Tom detailing that for us. That's somewhere in the backlog.
Do I still have the audio files for that?
I reckon that's in season 2.
All right. Go back and have a look if you can.
2021. It would be season 2. Yeah,
it is.
Because I went to, Tassie, between lockdowns.
I would say early season 2.
Come with what you did between lockdowns. You're like, you know what? It's been a rough road. I'm going to go to a haunted asylum.
To be fair, I also went to Tasmania and I drank a lot of beautiful whiskey, a lot of delicious beer, and I looked at a lot of wonderful natural wonders.
Sounds lovely.
And also visited a haunted
asylum. Can we do that part of it, but not the asylum part? That's basically what I'm pitching here.
Okay.
I want us to not actually have to go.
I think we have to. I think if it's, how would we do? We have to go to the asylum, but we die quicker.
All right.
Their movie is an hour 35.
Yeah.
Our movie is 25 minutes.
Yeah. 20 of those
20 minutes at the water park.
Pure joy.
We get to there. We see the underwear. We get killed by a ghost outside.
Do we go into the asylum or are we in the tent with the captain?
That's worse, I reckon.
Oh. No, because then we see what his little nefarious plan is. We bash him and we get the fuck out.
I think we
Do
have
we
to
rescue
go in.
Though? How can we leave them to that fate?
This is true. We have but spent if we go in 30 minutes fuck. Enjoying their company.
Yes.
I think we would, wouldn't we?
We'd go in and try and rescue them.
That's the wrong kind of cowardly walking away from that.
Sean, we're in South Korea. Would Captain Korea walk away?
He would never.
He would get on that train to Busan. He'd ride up with cardboard. He'd punch his... Can you punch... You can't punch these guys.
He'd open his luggage. There wouldn't even be clothes in there. There'd just be weights. And he'd just be doing weights.
Don Lee, Beast Cop.
Bring him into this movie, please.
He would improve every single movie he's in. Yeah. I fucking love that, man.
He needs his, like, reconnaissance of just being Viagra for every fucking franchise out there.
He's doing well enough in his own little franchise.
Okay.
I love the Roundup.
I gotta watch this movie.
You gotta watch it. The Beast Cop cannot be beat.
Yeah.
It's so satisfying watching him punch people. Nothing brings me more joy in cinema, if I'm quite honest. I watched a movie with him called Badland Hunters.
Yeah.
It's not a very good movie. But when he punches people, my heart sings. It's just great.
I've seen this thing going around the internet lately of Jake Johnson kissing Zooey Deschanel in New Girl. And it just like, and I can see why, because literally you watch this kiss and you're like, wow, I kind of want Jake Johnson to kiss me. That's like a full on kiss. You believe it. You believe his whole, I feel like Don Lee punching people is the same thing.
Yeah.
You believe that punch. You want to be punched by Don Lee.
Yeah, no, you're right. When he punches someone, I believe in love.
Yeah. Well, on that note, that's all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scary listeners like this show, would like to help us out, guess what? We have a Patreon. There's tons of great stuff on there, as well as just all our regular episodes are also ad-free. So if you get sick of the ads, hey, $5, you get all the episodes ad-free, plus basically a whole other amazing podcast full of tons of crazy good shit. And you help us out. Which we say thank you. We say we love you. For all those pages out there, truly, truly, we do appreciate it. We love it. We love making all that extra stuff and we get to do it because of the Patreon. So truly massive thanks for that. Otherwise, if you'd like to leave us a review, that's always very helpful and also a nice way to show that you love us. And if you'd like to send us an email or just say hi, you can do so at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or you can find us on socials at ScaredyBoys or ScaredyBoysPodcast or individually. I'm at DamianRob.writer.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
The three of us, we're beautiful boys and we're beautiful friends.